All right, so we are here at Terrence's house. We have set up. I'd like to welcome everybody back because it's been quite a break since the last time we were together. And I say that ironically, but I also say that realistically because, well, we recorded a show a few days ago, and it's actually going to be posted after this show.
Nice.
So we were actually together, but as a whole, as the Dollar Bank community, this is the first time we'll have been together in a while.
all three of us.
All three of us. Yep. And that brings up another another thing. Right now, this is Adam, whose voice you pretty much hear all the time. Sorry. And to my left is Brandon, Big Dog. Do we still have to keep calling you Big Dog? Can we just call you Brandon at this point?
What if you say Brandon and not Brandon?
Well, yeah, you're Brandon.
Okay, that's fine.
And then to his left is Terrence.
That's me.
And then to his left T-minus is the ghost legs of Devin, who is actually going to be on the show. Special guest, Devin.
Believe it or not.
And he is running late, but he will be here shortly. And to his left is Ted, who did not show up at all and will not make it.
So it's the ghost of Devin and then just the complete
the lack of Ted.
Absence of Ted.
Yeah. And then to Ted's where the left of where Ted would be is Terrence's son, Grant.
Yeah, little guy. Hopefully he'll...
Who's trying to steal my soul.
Yes, he was doing that earlier. Now he's trying to steal mine.
His middle name is named after the writer here.
True. His middle name is Ellis, after Warren Ellis.
Who is the writer on our topic later today. When Devin gets here.
Yes, when Devin gets... Stall!
Stall!
And then, let's talk to the baby.
Well, then, to Grant. Grant's left is myself. And we've gone all the way around the discussion circle. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah.
What else is going on the site? We have some shows coming up. We've got them planned. Our Thanksgiving show's just around the corner.
Oh,
going to be the one after this one, probably. And we're going to encourage, after we post that, for all of you to, you know, come to the site and post what you're thankful for the year as well in comics. Let's see. Talk about upcoming shows, recorded Friday. We did all that. I want to...
Talking about the future past.
It's like, oh my God, I have an itinerary. Adam is reading a piece of paper from planned discussion points.
Especially in my house. I think that's like...
that's one of the keys to... I had the day off, so I was like, Terrence's house, this day like off,
the,
Monday.
The we're going to tighten this down. For organization.
Yes. As you can see, we're already drifting off again.
We're bad. What can I say?
So, I want to mention the Chrissy Zullo video on the website.
Very talented young
Watch
lady.
It. It's awesome.
Very talented. I agree.
Watch it, if not just for the original to that cover.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get her to come to Sketch Charlotte.
Yeah.
You probably...
I forgot she's local.
I didn't know until I saw the thing.
Yeah, you
really
may be able to
see what she does.
Oh, man. Like, I can't remember. She can knock out Cinderella like that, you know?
Exactly.
She's very detailed and she's pretty awesome. I would definitely try to get a hold of her. She's got a MySpace page.
Prince Charming.
So yeah, check out that video. In the video, I throw up the Cinderella Marvel's projects sketch cover.
That is nice.
And you saw the original today. Basically all it is comment about the Cinderella book, preferably. A lot of people started commenting. I'm kind of curious what people think about the book. So go ahead and comment on site. I'll randomly draw from those. Commenting on the video, I said I'm going to randomly draw, and the deadline was our first show after. But this is our first show after. I'm going to give it one more show. And everybody can comment, and I'll do a random drawing on that, and somebody will win that awesome
Yeah, so good Cinderella luck everybody
cover.
On that.
It's awesome not making
prize,
it out of here.
I was about to say, it's a pretty awesome.
It's already
prize.
Out my car,
and I might just hit Adam in the head with a lead pipe. And
Brandon was going through the box of comics. I need to go make sure it's still in there.
I do not what you mean.
Don't forget, not only do we do a podcast, but we've recently, as I mentioned, the Toys for Tots Quick Heads. We're doing a lot more information on the website, and also we have recently signed up with Project Wonderful, and we have our nice little cube of or a little grid of advertisements that are randomly coming and going. Feel free to sign up with Project Wonderful and advertise on our site. Right now it's like between 1 and 2 cents a day, so you can't go wrong with that, right? Advertising on our site.
I'm gonna advertise for a week right before HeroesCon.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, yeah, I mean,
I bet you it goes up.
Just give them some hits.
Click the links,
click them, give them a reason to come back to the site and use it.
Yeah. And we're gonna get a couple more on there, and of course during HeroesCon we're gonna be pushing that a little bit more because we're gonna try to promote other other people. And really, what we do with that money is we use that little bit of money to go ahead and put our own ads on other people's Project Wonderful sites as well to help get the help spread the Dollar Bin word.
That's wonderful.
The message, the message of the Dollar Bin word.
The virus.
And yeah, articles. We have a lot of people writing articles now. Brian's been writing weekly articles or trying to. Sean has started contributing articles. We still have Joel who's been writing, and maybe we'll get a couple more people out there writing some articles for the site. So there's always, we're trying to keep fresh content on there all the time. I've got so many videos I need to edit and put up there. I still got a bunch of sketches. Brandon's actually didn't make the cut because I'm missing the first 6 minutes of his sketch and like the last two.
Wow.
I don't know who was in charge of that one.
I'm actually okay with that because I took entirely too long to
that
do
too little.
That would
probably be Ted Tarver, Man About
Town. That would be Ted Tarver. Thank you, Ted, for saving me.
Ted's finger is covering the first 6 minutes of the sketch.
Yeah, well, and I tried. I was like, well, maybe I'll just do when he's inking it. And then it was just like, okay, but except I'm missing like the last 2 minutes of his even his inking. So I was like, maybe next time we'll catch Brandon again. But that's all I have for site news. And that was a little bit more than I really wanted to do. So that'll be edited down. So you missed something.
Ooh.
by not being here. Everyone who's not in Terrence's house right now, you missed something.
And you should hate yourself.
I'm here and I hate myself anyway.
Wow, man. Is my house that bad?
No, I'm just... But I don't hate myself. I just like to try to fit in. I don't hate myself.
The next step in the organized Dollar Bin show that we used to be able to maintain is to talk about what we've been reading lately in an organized and effective manner. Today, I'm going to start with Terrence.
Oh, fantastic. well, I kind of did this in the future.
Year 2000.
I'll still go back and... Where's my box? Talk a little bit about, let's see, what's, I talked about Punisher, talked about Hectoplasm. I'll talk about the new Batman and Robin book is still incredible. I'm kind of sad that they replaced
Quietly,
but it seems like the rotating cast of artists on that is going to be pretty solid because right now it's what, Philip Tan, or it's one of the Tans. It's either
I'm not digging the current art on it.
Yeah, I'm not, but Cameron Stewart's going to be the next artist on it, and I love that guy's work. His work that was on...
he's pretty versatile, isn't he?
Yeah, he's really versatile. He did Catwoman for a while, mm-hmm. and he's got a very kind of middle-of-the-road cartoony style that he does, mostly. It's almost reminiscent of like what you would expect from somebody like... I don't know, it's kind of a hard... maybe a mixture between a Bruce Timm... Darwin Cook and Amanda Connor at the same time because it's
like
a playful
that.
Art
yeah.
style.
Yeah, it's a really playful art style, but it's really dynamic and it's got a lot of energy in it. And it's going to play right to his strengths with you know, Damian jumping around like a crazy person.
Is it going
to
fit in the dark broodiness of what is All-Star or whatever it's called?
Well,
Batman and Robin. It's not All-Star.
Well, yeah, it's not All-Star. It's not Frank
no, it's
Miller.
It's actually being put out on time.
Yeah. It's just, you know, Grant Morrison has been known to write Batman like a lot of different ways, and I'm really enjoying the way he's writing Dick as Batman. He's kind of still getting on his feet, but you know, he's also got to teach Damian at the same time, and it's really kind of a weird position for Dick to be in. So wow, for Richard Grayson, also known as Robin and Nightwing and Batman, they need to not name characters Dick ever again.
I will take this opportunity to mention a exclusive preview that I just read. It's not very exclusive. I mean, Heroes had a whole stack of them, and Heroes are hard to find.
They were just giving away, huh?
Well, mine was exclusive because Brennan at Richards said, hey, if I give you this, will you read it? And I said, yeah, so he gave it to me. So nice. A little bit more exclusive at Richards Comics and Collectibles. But it's Remender has a crime noir book coming out, and it is called The Last Days of American Crime. It's on Radical Comics,
okay,
which I'm are hit and miss with me. I think the art is beautiful. It's very digital art and Radical Comics. It tends to be very beautiful. The storylines are hit and miss. I read a couple of them that were kind of hollow, so I'm very careful, and I pretty much only read Radical comic books by writers who I know or am familiar with their work. Like, I read the Steve Niles one, which I enjoyed.
Right.
And now this Last Days of American Crime by Rick Remender. So far, I think I'm digging it. I'm going to like it.
Radical published that Hercules book,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's supposed to, there was Caliber. Like a was there a new one that came out? I think there was a new like mini series with that character that
probably
was coming out soon. So.
Is that the Starenko stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw a preview
that cover. Those covers that he was doing for that.
Yeah,
out of control.
Yeah, it's just I didn't really I read the first issue. I think they did a 99-cent issues for the first run.
Yeah, like, and that was pretty ballsy to start off. I mean, like,
yeah, and then as they went up to like it went up to like $4.99 after that or something. But
hooked you. A chance.
Except it didn't hook me, unfortunately. And, I remember Brian and I talking about it. This one, however, Rick Remender, you know, I can support that, especially now that he's a Marvel exclusive. It's going to be a lot rarer
that
to find.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Let me tell you how stupid. Like,
Fear Agent,
between
come
missing
home.
Fear Agent in League and Gigantic was good.
Yeah, when it started, and when, then
it started.
You know,
what, there was like three issues of that book out. Yeah. I'm so mad about that. Like, as soon as three came out, it was like Rick Remender signs exclusive Marvel deal.
I was about to go check out that series, and I saw his signed exclusive. I'm like,
I was mad
about
that.
Trade that never comes out.
But this again, this is a preview. If you're not at, like I said, they have them at Heroes, aren't hard to find. They may have them at Richards Comics and Collectibles. So if you're in Charlotte or Greenville, you can check those out. If not, just go into your comic shop and ask them if they have a preview. And they may. And it's free because it's a preview, you know? So at least get a taste. It's free.
It's free.
Free.
What are you going to do?
It's a recommender.
Free is for me.
So yeah, that's what I'll roll out as something I've read and recommend. And you got anything, Brandon? Big dog?
I was just talking about the Old Man Logan hardcover that just came out.
I'm surprised they collected that so fast.
Well, man, they had plenty of time to get everything
well,
together.
Well, except for, yeah.
That was somebody else's argument I'd seen on the forum, but I'd never read, I haven't read Wolverine in a long time, and I'd heard such good things about it, and I heard how they're trying to tie everything together, and I'd read 1985, and I'd read Miller's Fantastic Four. And so I was really curious to see how it went and how it all tied together. And I wasn't really sure how they tied Old Man Logan. I don't think they did.
That doesn't make sense to me at all. Like
1985 and Fantastic Four are tied in directly.
How?
Do you want to spoil it?
Yeah, I don't care. I've already read 1985, and I just didn't read the Fantastic Four.
The villain
Four.
At the end shows it made sense. I haven't read it in a while, but there's some character at the end of 85 that was supposed to be substantial. Was supposed to be the ultimate villain in the Doom series. He was Doom's master.
Oh.
Yeah, spoiler alert.
Oh, okay.
I remember that
That
tied together there.
The crazy guy or whatever.
Was supposed to be like bringing everything together in 1985 was the guy Doom's master.
I actually would be way happier not knowing that they tied together.
Yeah.
They shouldn't.
It was a reach. And I think they said that they were supposed to tie all three together. And after reading Old Man Logan, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, you talked about wanting me to talk about the end. The ending sucked. I didn't like it at all.
I honestly, I agree.
It's a cop out.
I don't know if it's a cop out, but what I can say is the strongest part of that series was the middle.
Yeah, I agree. And so, yeah, that's what I heard about. I heard about so many good things, and I even heard about what happened.
Yeah.
How he became, you know, the pacifist that he was, and then they get to the end, and it's like him and the Hulk family, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then it's like, dude, that's just...
And earmuffs if you don't want things ruined for you on two books. I'm going to ruin it, so earmuffs, spoiler alert. But basically, if you haven't read either of these two books, and this was ruined for Sean and for me, but I don't think I'm going to read it. But they compared, I did read the Old Man Logan, and they compared the ending of that to Lone Wolf and Cub.
Lone Wolf and Cub.
They said it's basically the same ending, the same way Lone Wolf and Cub ends.
Except without all the hillbillery.
Yeah.
That was stupid. But I hated that.
It's kind of the same thing. And
well, I mean, you know, back when Frank Miller was writing all those stories about Wolverine and ninjas, everything was very Lone Wolf and Cub at that point. It was...
Yeah, you steal from what's good.
I mean, it's true. Yeah. It's true. But that's just kind of how that book played out for a while.
Well, that's the part I was upset about was the hillbillery, not so much the Lone Wolf and Cub disc about it, because that has some merit.
The Hulk hillbillery?
Yeah. I just like, okay, it's like Preacher meets Lone Wolf and Cub. It's all the inbreeding begat all these idiots. And what I did like, though, have you read it?
No.
Are you going to read it?
No.
What I did like was when he shows up to the cave, Banner is a skinny, normal male, but he beats the crap out of Wolverine as an old dude. Yeah. He's not the Hulk. He's just an old dude. He's really strong.
Really diesel now.
Yeah. No, he's this frail old eighty or ninety year old man.
Oh, but he's got like
he's got his Hulk strength. Okay. Yeah. He just beats him down, and all of a sudden
that's out of control.
Wolverine cuts him. He's like, "Oh, you did it now." And he turns into just like this giant, massive Hulk, and he eats him.
Yeah.
What? And I'm like, yeah. have you not been paying attention, Hulk? Have you not been paying attention these years? You know, like, guts him. Wolverine wakes up and he's sitting there talking to his only surviving cousin and or nephew or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, "What's that noise?" And my stomach's all tore up and you know,
my
happens.
Stomach feels tore up. I must have eaten that sharp metal guy.
Oh, it
has a healing factor that I forgot about.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. The strongest part was the middle.
The journey. I would say the journey up until... Yeah. There's a lot of stuff I didn't understand, but I think that was the point.
Yeah.
And I kind of dug that, you know, that it was like an Earth X kind of thing where, you know, possible future. I don't know if it was supposed to be the future because I'm sure they'll retcon it.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's no way that's the future. But,
no,
yeah.
Steve McNiven had some pretty art in it, though, I'll tell you what.
That guy, man, Dexter Vimes makes his art, though. Have you his inking on that? Like
really?
On that stuff? Like,
they did show some at the end, the hardcover. They showed some pages and stuff, and you're just like, eh.
Vines' inking on Steve McNiven is just out of control with all the cross hatchery and
there's quite a bit of that.
Oh my god,
cross hatchery,
hillbillery, and cross hatchery.
Yeah, we're just making up words for tonight. Douche dickery.
And Devin is here.
Devin is in the house.
You know what it means when Devin is here. Devin, is there anything you would like to talk about before we get to the topic?
I would like to talk about Haunt.
What would you like to say about Haunt?
Because
some guy came up to me and said, as I love doing that. Some guy came up to me, or Singing John came up to me, and he said, "Hey, man, if you really like, you remember like how comics were in the 90s? Like, if you miss that, like, you should totally read Haunt."
I don't miss that at
and
all.
And so I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that one. But what do you got? What do you got for us,
Devin? I mean, I see where he's coming from. I mean, it's like, it's got a Spawny type of feel to it a little bit, I guess-ish.
It's McFarlane.
Yeah. So
it's McFarlane over Otley, though. Like, that's...
But, yeah, that's one thing.
That's the kicker.
I mean, I really want to let Devin do this review, but I wanted to say that... when I was talking to Brennan, he basically said, you know, it's like McFarlane took Otley's pencils and just said... Now I'm going to do this.
Really?
Just like redrew over it.
Yeah, but we know he's not going to redraw anything.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. I mean, he's got his signature in there. You know,
like, it's like, probably took it in the Photoshop and jacked
and I looked
up the
at
levels.
It, I looked, well, I, no, I looked at it a little bit, and it looks like, you know, Otley did his style, which is like simple and like easy to tell what's going on, and he just like muddied everything up with detail is what it looks like he did. But go ahead, Devin.
Well, go ahead. Well, see, I almost jumped in on it too.
Well, especially when it comes to like the costume and stuff like that. Like, you tell, like, right there with all, I mean,
right.
That is straight up Spawn style right there, you know?
Well, in the, like, the whole idea with the art team is weird because you've got Greg Capullo that does the layouts. So he lays the entire issue out. Greg Capullo is, for those who don't know, is basically McFarlane's. How can I put this?
Apprentice?
Yeah. Is that, good one.
That's the
he's
nice
McFarlane
way to put it.
Yeah, that's the nice way to put it.
He's McFarlane that draws.
Yeah, he's McFarlane's freaking ghost ghost MC.
Ghost.
That's what you want to put
he's
it like.
His ghost pen.
Yeah, he's his ghost pen. Because his art looks almost exactly like McFarlane's.
Yeah. I mean, he did, you know, Spawn.
Yeah, he did Spawn for a long time. But he lays the entire issue out. Like, okay.
Have you seen how he does that?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
It's pretty solid. Like, he lays the entire issue out, and then Otley goes in and pencils the whole thing. And then McFarlane digitally inks it, though. So the original art, if you want to go buy it, is probably still hot.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, you know, again, because it's McFarlane, he never really learned how to not do that 90s excess on his inks. And that I'm worried about it. And I haven't looked at the book.
Inks are heavy.
Okay.
I mean, it's got... You
haven't read it at all?
I haven't even...
But I haven't read it, so do you have
I've been waiting on somebody to tell me it was
actual
good.
Review?
review?
Us, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's another thing. It's you want me to just tell you what's going on in the book?
Yeah,
please.
It's two in.
It's also sort of Spawny. It's like, basically, there's this guy. He's like a cigarette-smoking, sort of cursing sometimes, preacher.
Okay, so...
And then his...
He's not like John Constantine?
No.
Okay.
No way, man. He's nowhere near as cool as Constantine.
I've never read Hellblazer.
Dummy. Yeah, well, that's your
problem.
I know. Yeah. I will eventually. Go ahead.
So then his brother's like a secret agent type dude or whatever and gets caught up in a bad mission, basically. And they capture him and try to torture him into telling him something that he doesn't know.
It happens.
And they were like, God, it's terrible, man.
The
girl comes in and she's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cut off his junk in front of him, and then if he still doesn't tell you, he doesn't know, so kill him. And that's what happens. And so then, like, his ghost basically comes back to his brother and starts talking to him, like, because his brother goes to go see about his brother's wife, I guess, who I'm guessing they used to be together at one point, but... She, I guess, dumped him for her brother, or maybe, I don't know how it ended up happening. But anyway, that's what happened. So he goes to go to hang out with her, and you can tell he does not like her at all. And some people start busting in, and the brother's ghost is like, yo, we got to do, get her out of here. People are coming. This is bad. And he's like, what are you doing? And doesn't move like stupid somebody in a movie or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Or a really bad comic.
Yeah, or that. And so the brother's ghost ends up at one point jumping into him, basically. And like, that's how he turns into that. And he's like, whoa, what's going on here? And he's like, I don't really know, but let's just do this. And you let me fight this guy. And he's like, no, I don't get it. So there's kind of like
like Firestorm.
All right. Yeah. This is kind of, it's kind of, and guys, while Devin was laying this whole thing out, I was flipping through and he basically just gave you the entire first issue for free. So
do yourself a favor.
But what strikes me, it looks like it's a lot like you said, Firestorm or Venom, except the suit is your brother.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it feels.
Yeah, pretty much. Because he's like, let me fight this guy. You just go limp, He's like, I know what I'm doing here. I do this all the time. And he's like, I don't know. You don't know what are you talking about? No. So they're kind of like, at each other about that.
I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the issue right now. And honestly, I'll probably go back and get this.
I'll
trade you mine.
Are you serious? Well, I don't think McFarlane effed it up that bad. Like, it's definitely got his signature all over it, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to the point where it's unbearable to look at. Like, I think McFarlane's own stuff and Capullo's stuff generally is.
Well, wasn't this a cover to Spider-Man, like, 20 years ago?
Yeah. Now, that, that's McFarlane on his own, and I don't think Ryan Otley can co-sign for that.
I read the second issue too.
Okay.
Because I saw it came out, and I was like, the first one wasn't that bad. And I kind of want to see what's up with the whole brothers kind of thing or whatever. So I read the second issue, and it was pretty decent. I mean, not a whole heck of a lot happens. There's some killing going on and, gore and whatnot, but it's really, really not that bad.
Right.
And it's to the point, I'm a little intrigued, and at the end of the second issue, you get this shot where the preacher brother, is getting introduced to the secret agent world that his brother was in.
Okay.
So now he's going to have to, start working with them.
Right.
And then, obviously... use the suit if he goes
if
on
he gets
any
the, if it gets too crazy
yeah
in there.
yeah
But speaking of itinerary,
oh hold on two
what?
Seconds
one oh more god
you
Devin.
Have got to be in
what
this is your book dude
oh what is it
sort of
oh yeah
you been reading this
yeah I have
Wormwood?
Last Battle
yeah did you like it
yeah it's funny like in that is that the second issue right that's out now
yeah I got okay. one and two here.
In the second issue, he does this whole speech about, how he's going to have this kid now. And so basically the Antichrist, the son of Satan, is about to have a kid. So it's like another level down or whatever. So anyway, he's talking about like having a kid and how he thinks it's going to take his edge away because he's like this big producer of like really terrible TV shows and stuff like that. He thinks it's going to take his edge away because he's like, when people always have babies and then all of a sudden they're like, coochie, coochie, coochie. I was listening.
He's like, I'm afraid I'm going to get it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to be one of those people that gets it. You know, it's like, oh, you'll get it when you have kids. You know, he doesn't want to be that person.
That guy.
So I was listening to Brian Posehn, his like I have his comedy CD.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm married now and you know, I might eventually be one of those guys, you know, is like always like really hardcore comedians and all of a sudden they have kids and it's just like, oh, my baby's boo doo boo boo, my baby boo. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's like the exact same thing that was in Chronicles of Wormwood that I just read. So I thought that was
comics.
Yeah. I was like, well, it's like, well, Posehn wrote that. I mean, that's from 4 or 5 years ago, that comedy special. So I'm curious if maybe Warren Ellis is, or Garth Ennis.
Yeah.
I'm curious so if Garth Ennis was doing that.
There's Wormwood Gentleman Corpse. That's Brian Temple Smith.
Completely different books. Ben Temple Smith.
Yeah. And then there's
Chronicles of Wormwood.
Is he coming to Heroes Con this year?
He's not listed yet.
He said on Twitter that he wants to.
If you guys follow him on the Twitter.
I do. I only check Twitter like twice a week, maybe, though.
Yeah, he actually sent something to Heroes Online and was like, I really hope my invitation stands for this year.
Ryan Ballin.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
What'd you think about old buddy coming back at the end?
Yeah. The Pope. Yeah. Jacko.
This book is so freaking ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
But like at the same time,
it's beyond over the top.
It's just cutting loose.
It's the most over the top craziness I've ever read in my life. But like at the same time, like the base story, like Wormwood is surprisingly like a normal dude.
Yeah.
You know, he's like Mr. Everyday Guy. Kind of guy, but
and it's
know,
like the dude's the, ex, the dude's ex wife, you know, like his competitor's ex wife.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Oh, so weird. Yeah. So weird.
Oh,
so weird.
Some people just go check out the first Wormwood.
Yeah, just do that.
Yeah, yeah. Chronicles of Wormwood.
Garth Ennis and Jason Burroughs, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Jason Burroughs.
And then this one's Oscar Jimenez.
Is that that's through Avatar?
Yeah.
Man, Jason Burroughs gets so much work through Avatar. He only works with like huge name people.
Yeah. Well, it's like Jason Burroughs and then like Rip. Mm-hmm.
Juan Jose Rip.
Juan Jose. Oh man, he's so detailed, and he just does Avatar work too.
And those guys, and like I said, they only get to work with freaking Garth Ennis and Warren Ellis. Yeah.
Last thing I'll mention right quick is I picked up, speaking of Warren Ellis.
Thank you.
Warren Ellis' novel. Thank
you. Have you read it all the
Crooked
way through?
Crooked Little Vein. No, I have not. I just started it.
So awesome from beginning to end. Really? If you think you're getting into the crazy shit, you're not.
Oh, I'm sure I'm nowhere near it.
Oh, my God.
I've read enough Warren Ellis to know that I got a pretty good idea what I'm probably going to get myself into.
Oh, my God. But it's fantastic.
I mean, the first page, I read, I was like, oh, yeah, this is going to be some classic Warren Ellis
stuff. Yeah, I totally blazed through it in like a day and a half just because I was like, that's with the kids around. I was able to read it, so.
I tried to start reading it on a road trip, and everybody started yelling at me like, you're on a road trip, what are you doing?
What are you doing, nerd?
Yeah. They're like, why don't you just read it out loud? And I start reading out loud, like, what the hell are you reading?
Speaking of Warren Ellis.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Segway.
We totally segued earlier before you got here.
Yeah. About 7 segues.
I used my
before
baby
you got
as
here.
A segue.
Yeah. We segued like while we were doing the introduction.
Yeah.
But as it says in the title, and as we mentioned earlier, topic of discussion is planetary. And we're going to go ahead and talk about planetary.
You care if I get some of that Sprite?
Yeah, go for it, man.
I think I want some
it's
as
all you.
Well.
It's all you. So apparently we're going to take a Sprite break, and then we're going to start talking planetary.
Actually, we're going to film a Sprite commercial. I'm going to dunk a basketball.
Product placement. Sprite. Papa John's Pizza. Sprite.
Drink more Sprite and eat Devin's candy.
But I guess while they're getting their Sprite, I'll go ahead and do the little officialness part of it. So basically we're going to talk planetary, and we are going to not restrain ourselves on spoilers, but if you want, we'll go ahead, and if you don't know what planetary is about, Brandon, would you and I maybe talk a little bit about just a briefness of planetary? It's Warren Ellis' book. It's been written for quite a while, and it's pretty much about a team of
archaeologists.
People, archaeologists who are just like beyond
the secret history of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and they discover just the secrets of the world, and that's what they do.
I think early on the book took a it had a general premise it was trying to do, and then it took a life of its own. But early, it's very fun. It's very upbeat. It's got a lot of stuff from popular culture.
Yes,
in it.
It takes the one shot approach too. Each the early issues, and that's like a lot of good TV shows start out that way. The first season is a lot of one shot stories, and then all of a sudden,
the whole stuff is a spider web.
Yeah.
And it's insane how much of it you don't realize it. Next thing you know, you turn around and there's this series of breadcrumbs and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. And it's how many issues did it end up being?
27.
27 issues. So it's not even
28 for the preview.
Yeah. And then Crumb Crossing Worlds.
Yeah. And there's issues. Were there four crossovers too?
Three.
Yeah. The JLA, the
Batman
Authority, and then
Batman one.
The Batman one's my favorite one.
We'll get to that later, of course. But,
my man, John Casting.
But we'll get to that issue a little later. But yeah, that's basically what it is. It's a team of archaeologists, and then there's this whole mystery, underlying mystery that you learn as you go along.
And keeps the world strange. That's a recurring theme.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, like, it's 27 issues with a couple little one-shot crossover events here and there. It's in trade. The fourth trade is...
Fourth hardcover is coming out.
The fourth hardcover is just coming out. Mm-hmm. They're re-releasing the Absolutes and reprinting the first one, and they're going to be releasing the second one shortly as well. They just were previews today, the previews that came out today. So it's right around the corner. If you haven't read it, now's just about the chance to go ahead and break in and go ahead and read it. If you have read it, then we welcome you on this journey through Planetary as we discuss it and how it's made us feel.
Tingly,
soft and gooey.
So I'm gonna try to moderate this one and see if I can reel everybody in.
Since I was taking a piss, did you already warn everybody that they're only gonna spoilers. Be listening to a little bit of this?
Yeah, we basically just did. We just did the whole little part that people will be listening to. And
okay, cool.
The trailer.
Well, you gotta
think.
We're
digging in.
It's gonna be easy to keep the three of us on track, I imagine.
As they said.
With this written piece of paper with these questions, I think I'll be able to handle a little better.
Break out the whip.
Now, did any of you guys read over the questions already?
Yes.
I glazed
yes
over.
No. Yes and
one wait, thing. Questions? One, yeah, or just
the email.
Like,
I sent out an email with the bullet points.
There are more points than
bullet point, yes.
Okay, well, there are questions, but basically what I want to be able to do is I want to be able to talk about these things with as little bleed over as possible to keep continuity in the discussion. But my first question is, I want to know where Planetary was when you started reading it, Brandon.
Well, back in the day, I picked up the first issue and read it. Actually, I got a recommendation from Wizard, so I think it might have been two or three issues after it started. But I went back and read it. Didn't hook me.
Well, that's another question, Brandon. But you can go ahead and tell us that now.
And then
want.
I went away. I went away and did my thing. And then I was drawing something and I needed some reference. And I was flipping through the Wizard again, and I came across it. And I was like, that looks pretty cool. And I started to become a fan of Cassidy's artwork. And I picked it up. I think it was right when it started slowing down in the issues, around the 20s. Mm. And I picked it up at Heroes Con, I think 2007, maybe 2006 or something. I bought all the issues they had and went back on eBay and I bought all the issues at one time. So I had like all the 20s twice.
Dang.
And then I've since traded those and then I've caught up, but actually got lucky and found an Absolute for $30 too. So I was pretty
look at you.
I was about to say, man, you are hands down the collector out of us all because you have seeked out like.
Well, I've got the trades. I've got two hardcovers. I've got the Absolute. I got all the issues.
Wow.
And yeah, that's it.
I really do wish Sean was here so I could put some drinks on comics and freak her and Brandon
well,
out.
Well, you do freak me out. I'm glad I didn't bring mine tonight. I was just like, Devin's not putting drinks on them.
On Friday, I threw something to Terrence. It was only the sketchbook, too.
Yep.
It was like a little sketch.
And she was like, she was, time stopped.
When did you jump on, T?
I jumped on with the preview. It was actually running on the back.
What year was that?
98.
98 is when it started.
Yep.
Okay.
Which was my junior year in high school.
It's kind of old.
I actually, I was reading Stormwatch at the time. I was already a Warren Ellis fan.
Okay.
And he was really kicking a lot of ass in that. And, you know, I was like, I'll pretty much get on board with whatever this guy comes out with for now.
Mm-hmm.
And they were running the previews. I think the preview I have now is on the back of a Gen 13 book. But the preview I had then, I believe, was on the back of a Stormwatch book.
I think that's what I have.
I think it ran line wide, if I'm not mistaken. So like all the Wildstorm books had the previews on the back. So I got that, and it was great because it was like a retelling of the story of the Hulk in like three pages.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is incredible. And so I kind of, when the first one came out, I was like, man, this is awesome. And I was in high school, so it was, you know. It was awesome to be reading counterculture type stuff, and you know, you felt like you were the man because you were reading things nobody else was. And
God, I wish I was reading that shit in high school.
You jumped on much later, right, Devin?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah.
You
probably jumped on shortly before I did.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, everything was out except for 26 came out after I had started reading it.
Okay,
like, right after I started reading it, and I saw the cover.
Yeah,
that cover is badass. Yes.
And which is probably my favorite comic book cover of all time.
Hey, talk to me before you leave. I'll hook you up.
You did that. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah.
I saw the cover and I was like, I bought it.
So the cover, you bought 26 first?
Mm-hmm.
That was the cover. That was what grabbed you. That's
That cover's beautiful.
Well, I mean, Flacco.
Yeah.
It was the reason I started reading Planetary.
Yeah, he's the reason I started reading as well.
I mean, you know, he's been hawking everything at me, Warren Ellis, since forever. And, you know, he was always big on Planetary, Planetary, Planetary. So I looked for it on eBay. And, you know, I got to a certain point where I'd read everything that I had, you know, wanted something new. I was like, he keeps talking about that Planetary. Now, let me check that out. So I looked on eBay and I finally got like, the first three trades and the Crossing Worlds together for like, I don't know, maybe like $20 for all four, something like that. And I was like, yeah, okay, score. We'll take that. And then, you know, then I didn't have the rest of it. So I read like the first two trades, I think. And then after I read the first two trades, I was like, oh man, okay, I'm really going to need the rest of this like ASAP. But I was like, I wouldn't touch the rest of it until I could have the rest of it.
So you didn't read past two until you ended up collecting the available issues.
Right. I didn't read past the second trade. Well, I mean, the second, like at that point, like I said, that issue 26 was out. So as many issues were coming out, were out.
Yeah.
You know,
it could have almost ended at 26.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could have. Like
we'll get to that.
After I eventually collected them, the rest of them I ended up getting mostly on eBay too. I tried to shop for them local, you know, local shops and stuff like that. Dude, Phil tried to sell me number 20 for like,
I remember that.
Yeah, like $10 or something like that. I was like, you have got to be out of your flipping mind. I'm like, what are you going by the back of Wizard or something like that? Like, what? This is a 9.9 CG grade. Get out of my face.
They're not cheap.
I was there with that.
Well, I ended up getting number 20 for $1 and in better condition than the one in his shop.
That's ridiculous.
I brought it in. I was like, you could have had. I offered him $7.
Seven. Yeah.
Because he was trying to charge me 10. I was like, you know what? I was like, if I get off of eBay, I'm probably going to have to pay for shipping and handling and everything like that. I was like, let me just give you my $7 right now, and this thing won't be in your box anymore. You know? And nope. He wouldn't do it. And then I was like, I'm going to come back in here in 4 months and laugh at you because this issue is still going to be sitting in here, and you still don't have any money for it. And I got mine for $1. And I did. And it was funny.
Can I? Oh, good.
The only thing that I really spent money on was number 19. I bought it for $10 and then like $5 shipping and handling or something like that. So I spent $15 on number 19. But that thing, like by itself, 19's almost impossible to find.
Yeah.
And mine's signed by Cassidy. So
what's funny is the 20 is the same way, though.
Like, yeah, the short print.
20 now is 19 and 20 were the short printed out of all of the entire run. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's another like iconic feel. Yeah.
And I'm so glad that I got Cassie's signature on there. Not that it really
is that the movie? Is that the movie poster print? Which one is that?
No,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
Letterbox.
It really makes a big difference because I wasn't there when he signed it, so it's not like it's like
I signed it, Devin.
You know. Yeah, for all I know, whoever had it signed it, whatever.
You paid would you pay for that one? Do you know?
10.
You paid 10 for that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, that's not bad for that. I mean, I've seen them go you know, on eBay for more than that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt like it was I don't buy anything on there unless I feel like it's reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Juice got to be worth a squeeze.
I probably jumped on around because everything was already out. I don't know what issues were out because I wasn't paying attention, but I did buy the first three trades and I was shopping. This is when I first started reading again and buying my own stuff. And I just finished Preacher, I think.
Wow.
And maybe Why the Last Man. I can't remember, but those were like the first three trade sets that I bought were Preacher, Why the Last Man, and Planetary. And I bought the first three trades of Planetary and the Crossing Worlds, which was the collection of all of the crossover event, a little crossover sideshow, side stories.
Sideshow.
And I did not want to start buying the issues. I have trouble mixing my trades and issues.
Yeah, I do
and
too.
The only time I've ever, no, twice now, I've broken that. One is with Walking Dead and the other is with Ultimate Spider-Man. The only times I had the trades and then caught up and then switched issues.
Mm.
I really didn't want to do that Planetary. And okay, reason being, there was only one freaking issue left, and I was going to wait for them to put that issue out and collect it into trade.
You waited a while, didn't you?
so you know, after like a year or so of waiting, what am I going to give in at that point? But also at that point, I had brought my books by the aforementioned comic shop that Devin was talking about earlier. And to loan to somebody and said, hey, I'm going to leave these here. Can you give these to so-and-so when they come by? I got to go on vacation or I was going out of town, so I didn't have time to do it. They're like, sure. So like a few months later, I'm like, hey, did you ever get those? You done reading those books? And he said, I never got books. So apparently those stoner chumps who are friends of mine sold my books.
Oh my god.
And did not keep track of it, and so I don't know if they were sold. They're like, I don't remember you dropping those off. And it's like,
oh,
you just lost my business.
So no, they didn't lose my business, but well, they did, but I don't live there anymore. But yeah, I sold my books. I have no way of doing it. So I really want the books, but now I'm waiting for those absolute reprints. And
they're beautiful.
Because honestly, it's like I've already owned the trades. It's like, do I want to buy the paperbacks again? I've already read it. I can wait it out. You
well,
know?
That and that's the same thing. I had the first whatever three trades, and then the Crossing Worlds.
Yeah,
you know, I had that in my possession, so I figured that After I read those, I was like, I'll just get the other trade when it comes out. Same kind of thing you were thinking about.
Yeah.
And then I saw that cover. And, you know, I had already read the second trade by that point, so I knew who Elijah Snow was.
Yeah.
You know, I was well-versed.
Yeah.
I saw that cover, and I was like,
should we get into that now? I mean, I was about to...
What, the covers?
No, about the who Elijah Snow was, because that...
I mean, yeah. I mean, if...
Because I piggyback on what Devin said, it's just like one of those things, and this is the biggest spoiler
of the book.
It's just, how did you not know? I mean, I'm in the same boat. I'm talking to myself here.
Yeah.
How did you not know? That's the oldest trick in the book, and it totally hit me. I dropped the book. I'm sitting there reading the book, and I dropped it. I was like, how did I not know? I felt stupid.
I looked at it like...
But it was a revelation, you know? It was like,
I'm sure we all looked at it and was like, I know I was by this point. I was like, Warren Ellis is too good to pull the amnesia trick on us. And, you know, that's really, it's more of a complicated version of that.
He hit you in the face with it.
Yeah, but it's really an uppercut in the gums with the freaking amnesia trick.
It was so well done. God, everything in that book is so well done.
It's like, you know, and of course they're not real people, but the characters
by that point
play it off so well.
Yep.
And, I mean, we can kind of jump ahead. A couple of the other questions I have, where did you start? Why did you start? And when were you hooked? And we all kind of talked about that anyway.
Yeah.
We already talked about that. It did take
me a couple, like,
we all
reading into the first trade.
Yeah.
It took me through, like, probably I'd say, like, the third issue or something like that. Like, after, like, the third or fourth issue, I was better. But I read the first issue of it, you know, or, like, the first issue in the trade, and I was like,
yeah.
And then I read the second one. I was like, okay, yeah, all right. And then, like, you know, just progressively got better and better.
It's like you're going out to eat at Ruth's Chris. They bring you trade one, which is your dessert, or your appetizer.
Mm-hmm.
And then your second and third trade's like your daggum meal. Yeah. And then the last is the dessert. Well, issue 27 is the dessert.
It's like, for me, it's like that first trade, after once you start the first trade,
I knew it was definitely creme brulee. Yes.
I knew I wanted to read the second trade after starting the first trade.
Right.
And then once that reveal, that Elijah Snow reveal, that's when I knew I was hooked until the end.
It got me right through here with that reveal.
I was hooked. I knew I was going to keep reading it, but at that point, I knew that they had me.
What's funny is, I guess, because, again, I collected them, you know, individually. I think I forget if it's the third or the fourth issue, whichever one has the ghost cop.
Oh, yeah.
Like the second or third issue, right?
That's a really good issue.
And that was when I was like, all right, there's more at play here than just pastiches of, you know, of genre things.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, the first issue is what it's like. The first few issues.
Well, it's cool because they're like, and I was saying earlier, like with Brandon, is the first trade and it starts up. It's got that whole first season of a TV show going,
exactly.
Where each episode is just like a little one shot story to get to know the characters. But then by the end of the season, you realize it all ties together.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big the end of the Hong Kong of the Ghost Cop issue, where it's like that machine comes out of the ground and it's like a soul harvester, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's when I was like, you know, this isn't just your average, because I mean, it could have just left it at the ghost cop and been like, you know, that's that.
Yeah,
but you know, there was more at play there than, and that's to me what,
yeah, way more.
Yeah, before I won't get into what it's about, you know, the whole series, but
we kind of did that earlier where,
yeah,
you guys were spriting it up.
Okay. Yeah, it's brightening it up. Okay, you know, we'll skip ahead. We started talking about Elijah and the whole reveal thing. So let's talk about some of these characters in this book, and we'll come back to some of the more abstract stuff a little later.
Did you guys ever get a feeling that Elijah was, I don't want to say breaking the fourth dimension about, you know, how
like the fourth
TV,
wall?
The fourth wall?
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of had that feeling that he did it without
His internal monologue makes it feel like he's talking to you.
Yeah, yeah. And also his smirks, his feelings, his looks.
He gives the camera and things like just, that.
How badass is that when, and like right when he gets done talking, can I even say this right now?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
But,
which means,
right when he's talking, to John Stone.
Yeah, who's a character we'll talk about a little later, too.
Yeah. And, you know, he's walking out the door or whatever. He's like, one last thing. I figured out who the fourth man is.
Yeah. And he's just like,
it's me.
And then he goes out and freaking,
I'm like, what? And then the next part, like one of my most favorite scenes or whatever, is when he's like, they're all like, no, you don't know what you're doing. They told us, you know, we got to keep you under wraps and everything, and you're just effing it all up, and this is going to be chaos for everybody. He's like, and he's just calm, just like goes down on the ground, and he's like, the game is afoot. I want to let them know it's up.
You
know?
And he puts his hand down and puts that four. Oh, my God. That was like one of the
And that's really the moment that I'm talking about that hooked me.
Right.
Was that four.
He turned it on them and said, it's on.
Yep.
That right there is when I knew it had me.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, because up until then, he kind of felt like
getting damn goosebumps.
It's funny because they all felt like they were out of place. That's one thing about the characters and
they're
why they work together.
They're on a leash.
Yeah, exactly. They're all, you know, exiles to an extent, you know. So,
I was referring to them being afraid of the four and if they work as a team, the four's going to squash them. And then he came on and said,
guess
who's ball
and
it
they
is.
They cut loose. You know what I mean? It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like Elijah Snow, like the first character that you're introduced to in the book, and he's basically this guy that gets recruited.
Yep.
You know, and Elijah Snow, who we've talked about before, who happens to make things cold.
Dogfish coffee.
It's not just a clever name, you know? But it's like you're introduced to this character. We don't know anything about him. As far as we know at that point, he is just a guy being recruited by this organization.
Yep.
And he's really dry.
He's a curmudgeon.
Yeah,
he's a very like salty bastard. Like
he's very Clint Eastwoodish.
Yeah, and you know he feels like a cowboy. Like the whole just about the whole series.
Well, that's the thing that you figure out. So he had a southern. He used to have a southern accent.
Yep.
And that all came about to play, and you're like, okay, he is a good old boy.
Well, you think about it, he's a century baby, too, like the rest of you know what I'm saying?
I wanted them to dig into that so much more.
That's really what got
me an authority.
Yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, well, Jenny Sparks, I got to read this now. I want to know so much about all these century babies, and I'm just like,
Yep.
Yeah, and then, like, at that point, It's funny, too, because Planetary, even with the Crossing Worlds, and this is a little sidetrack.
Yep.
But as you get to the end, you realize all these Wildstorm worlds are related.
Right.
Kind of, you know?
Yeah, but they don't taint it. They don't. But, yeah. I was so surprised they didn't taint it.
What that goes back to is that, and what I was going to try to make this point earlier, was that when the book came out, it was sold, like, it was billed as there is a weird underbelly to the Wildstorm universe, and that's what these guys, you know, represent. And when you read the first few issues,
the secret history of the Earth,
it doesn't even feel like it's in the Wildstorm universe. Mm-hmm. And then they start tying things together with the Century Babies and Dr. Brass and all this other stuff, and you're like, wow,
man. Is Dr. Brass in something else?
They cross into authority a little bit.
I love Dr. Axel Brass. Axel mm-hmm. Brass is the man.
Can we start talking about pastiches of characters?
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, I was going to run down the three main
Planetary
characters.
Okay, yeah, let's do that then. Let's keep going.
I mean, we did
I'll
Elijah.
I'll come back to Axel Brass then.
And, of course, Elijah's a deep character. Elijah is the... Is he the only character in the book that is constantly in flux? He's constantly changing. He's kind of growing as a character through the entire series.
I would definitely say that. I would definitely say
everybody
he's the
else
only
is
one.
Pretty much who they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Learn more about their past, but they are who they are through the entire
exactly.
book.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can see
yeah, basically everybody else is just learning about how they got to the point where they're mm-hmm. at.
Yeah.
You know?
And trying to keep him from finding out who he really is.
Yeah. But even after he finds out who he really is, he still grows as a character, I think. You know?
I think so, too.
Of course, I guess that he has barriers that are slowly being
broken.
Well, I just
feel guilty about Ambrose Chase. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He wants to help that out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole book, though, he seems like he goes, even though he's like, you know, the still kind of a hard ass the whole time, I feel like he goes from being like this fresh-faced, you know, baby recruit on the team to being... like this masterful detective. And, you know, of course that goes in with the whole Sherlock Holmes angle and everything like that.
That was brilliant.
Which was brilliant.
Yeah.
But, you know, he feels like the whole time he's been doing his research, he feels like the whole time he's been digging up the clues and, you know, and things like that. That's what Planetary feels like the whole time is like a mystery.
I want them to release the Planetary guys.
You don't really solve it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a mystery that you don't want solved.
It's like they say, man. They're archaeologists.
Yes, sir.
Mystery archaeologists.
Keeping the world strange.
You don't really ever figure out exactly what was going on.
No. And that, you know, and that's the thing is like there's no by the time the book is over, by the time 27 is over, you get a feeling that there were 20 years of story in those 27 issues.
Well, the thing about it is he treats the reader with respect. Like, you actually know what you don't have to have it all spelled out for you.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's like you have some semblance of intelligence to read this book, so we're going to leave it open to your interpretation, which 9 times out of 10 is the best interpretation.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's true.
Someone that's going to make most sense to you.
Exactly. And if it's not, you need to seek help.
Would you guys say this is a book for a casual reader?
No.
You know,
like a non-comic reader?
Yeah, like
I do, because you don't have to have the back history of all comics. Right. You can jump in that and just read it.
It's not continuity heavy, but I think it's a little more cerebral than
it is very cerebral.
You could
it
just
is.
Give to your
I tell
friend.
You, I tell you what, I gave it to one of my buddies when like this was one of the first comic things that I gave him. Like when I kind of got him to start actually being interested in reading some more shit. Like, I think he was sort of interested in that kind of stuff before, but like definitely didn't like seek out anything or buy any comics himself or anything like that. I think he had read like
Dark Knight or something
Watchmen.
Like that.
Watchmen.
No, it wasn't even Watchmen. Maybe it was like Dark Knight or something that.
Yeah, it's
and like years ago or something, you know, but like, and nothing since then. And I was like, look, man, just take this and see what you know, what you think or whatever. And he was immediately hooked. I'm like, holy shit. I was like, yeah, well, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait a while.
Who do you think's a more interesting character, Jaquita or Drums?
Drums.
Well, I thought it was Jaquita until they gave the backstory on Drums. Gave that backstory on Drums. I got a whole new appreciation for that character.
Yeah.
He looks just like John Cassidy.
Well, yeah. I mean, what's easier to draw than yourself every issue?
That's Tommy Lee.
Yeah.
That is true.
Beat me to it, you bastard.
I wanted to talk about Fat Biker.
But it's funny. Like, even if you, as you read it, Jaquita's the. Do you guys say Jaquita? Is that how it is?
Yeah, it's Jaquita.
Jaquita. Her character's in the forefront more, but Drums' character is so busy in the background all the time
I have a theory on that. I'll tell you in a while.
You don't want to talk about it now?
Well,
go ahead.
Is it about drums or about the book? It's about a big theme
in the book.
Okay.
So, to me, the book is... All right, sorry. To me, the book is about... It's a mystery, right? But the whole idea of the book, to me, is about information.
Yeah.
Like, it's how information changes the world, you know, information and technology, what it does to humans, to normal people.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole... That's with the four.
Exactly.
That was a big deal.
Right.
That's the whole point, yeah. And I think... And
27 revealed that. The biggest yeah, yeah. Lord, yeah, like, yeah. Four pages, everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But because of that, I think drums is, like, the unsung character... In the entire book, because he's the focal point of all the information.
He's the book as a character.
Yeah,
well, he really is. He is.
Yeah, he's really.
He is the information. I mean,
if you want to put yourself in anybody's.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about.
The narrator.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you put yourself. A lot of people put themselves in Snow's shoes. You know what I mean? A lot of people see themselves as Elijah Snow when you read the book. I think you probably should look at it more from Drums' point of view. Because he's the one that's like, everything miraculous is happening around him.
It goes through him. Everything yeah. has to.
Everything
does.
Awesome that happens in that book goes through Drums at some point. So that's kind of like my whole theory on it, is that Drummer is there, that even though he's crazy as a fucking New York City rat, like, he's, you know, he's the everyman there. You know yeah. what I mean?
Well,
who just happens to have that.
Well, and it definitely, like, we kind of noticed, I mean, it until the end of the book, you don't even notice how important of a character he
really?
Is.
Yeah, just, yeah.
He's taken for granted through the entire book.
Yeah, the whole time he's getting his ass kicked, like, literally.
He's Curly of the Three Stooges.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I didn't realize, like you said, how okay, who's going to say integral or integral to the story? Like you said, I mean, you don't realize until they give you that backstory, and then you start thinking about all this thing, and you think about... Almost how he views Elijah as a father figure, because
yep.
he did save him and stuff like that, and he looks up to him, but he continually puts him down. But by doing that, I think it's showing him a respect and love that he has him around.
Exactly. And it grows Drummer as a character, I think, because
yeah.
You know,
self-sufficient.
Yeah, he gets it. Yeah,
and he believes
in himself. Kicked enough times, yeah. You're going
to
show up.
It's just like in all the old westerns, you know what I'm saying? Like, to, you know, takes in a little boy or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Go on, get it, you know.
Yeah.
Just slap him around. Like, go on, get it together. You know, he's never really going to tell him, like, hey, I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
yeah, that would have like broke the book,
I
mean, right there.
Exactly. Yeah, and he doesn't do it, which is why I love
he'll
that.
He'll give a wry smile or something like
yeah,
that, but that's all he'll give.
And, like, and, that
and he's not even the
what...
same room, you know. Yep. Drummer's gone or something, he's like, for radio,
as
podcast vision.
That's what did it.
I'll draw it and post it on the
But back to Jaquita.
Yeah,
what do you guys think about her as a character? Because
it's funny, as a character, they never really go into her. I mean, it's like when somebody needs to be strong, she's strong.
Yeah.
When somebody needs to be fast, she's fast.
Right.
You know, it's never like this whole.
You know why?
These are her powers. It's just like kind of.
It's symbolic of who she is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who she is hidden under all of that stuff. She puts up all those walls because she's a soft flower. She doesn't know. She's very insecure about herself.
Well, it's not just that. One of the big things in the book is that she is always bored. And that's the only reason she's with them.
Yeah. Right?
Is that
true
is because
too.
She's bored and crazy shit happens when she's around these people. You know? But the thing about it is, with Jaquita, she's kind of not of a lot of use to the team.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of, that which sucks for her, because a lot of it is really digging and
a lot of
sorting information.
Yeah, it's a lot of mental.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's perpetually bored, even doing the thing that she thought was going to cure her boredom.
Yeah.
Which is just so bad for her. But it makes you like her character when she really does do awesome things.
Well, I picked up on that being a byproduct of what I was talking about. It's just she doesn't want to take the time to learn who she is.
Yeah.
Or what she is. She just wants to go, bust, break, whatever.
Yeah.
And that whole relationship between her and Elijah. Elijah, a couple strokes away from being her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And he treats her. I think he treats her like that once he figures it out and tries to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess
sure
I can't.
The wisdom.
The drummer, he's also the child of a Millennium Baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they're both children of Millennium Babies, aren't they?
She is.
They I thought he
at,
was too.
If I'm not, I might be completely
the fourth
wrong.
Guy?
But they hint at him being William Leather's son.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't
not
they?
not the guy on the four, but that, his dad.
That's
that
yeah.
Had. Oh yeah, because the guy on the four wasn't really his
yeah,
son.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And
that's
he was
right.
Upset.
That's
what it, yeah,
they
yeah.
hint at Drums being his yeah. kid.
So they both kind of yeah. they both kind of have that going for him too, and they both end up pretty much being raised by Planetary or Elijah Snow.
Exactly. what I like though is that when you see, you know, and this goes back to Elijah kind of realizing he's the fourth man, the person who's probably the most vocal about please don't change is Jakita.
Yeah.
And it's because
Daddy
and you can
change.
See you can definitely see their relationship change after he becomes aware that he's the fourth man, because, you know, he treats Jakita with a lot less respect after that. You know, because, you know, everybody looks at her because, what do they say, she can drop kick a rhino over the Grand Canyon, which is an awesome line.
That's a commission you need to get John Cassidy to do. I want you to draw me a...
Could you just kick, you know, draw that?
I want to say rhino drop kicked over Grand Canyon.
But yeah, I mean, their relationship completely changes because he asserts himself more over her at that point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You want to jump into the four? You want to talk about some more of the kind of good guy characters?
Let's keep going with the good guys right now.
Axel Brass, yeah. We mentioned earlier.
Yes.
I like, you know, obviously it's a Doc Savage takeoff or parody or whatever you want to call it. But what I like about it is I like the relationship that him and the unknown or unaware Elijah Snow has. Yeah. He kind of goes and kind of runs his ideas by him. He kind of says, well, hey, this is what I'm doing. What do you think? And Axel is just like, hey, man, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
He's just like,
yeah. I'm still alive. Awesome. Yeah.
He's just like, he doesn't care. He's like, dude, you got to chill out. You got to relax. Just
yeah. I mean,
chill. I like his character a lot.
His legs freak me out.
Yeah. His legs. Yeah. Freaking wavy legs.
He gets them fixed.
Oh, but, man. And like later on, he's like walking around and he still has the oh, geez.
And they, you know, it's funny because Brass is the most respected out of that cadre of, you know,
yeah, I mean,
millennium
even,
people.
Even after Elijah gets his memory back, he still has a deep respect for Brass.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like he's his conscience. It's kind of like he runs all these things. He's like, God, I got all this stuff on my mind. And he goes, you're the calm in the storm.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Like,
oh,
I feel
he
like
is,
Brass
man.
Is kind of
he
the closest is. Thing to an actual superhero in the book.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when him
like
guarding
Tom
a snowflake and things like oh, that, yeah. I mean, like... Yeah. Ballsy last stands like that. Mm-hmm. Those only come in hero comics,
it's
and
like
that's
Tom
really kind
Strong
of
or something.
Yeah,
Tom Strong or
yeah, he's a pulp
Doc
hero,
Savage.
But
yeah.
he's just that short of being a Superman.
That's what he does. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a last stand that lasted how many years?
How many years?
50 something years.
That's crazy.
And he was ready to go when they found him. Like he was all right, let's get this done. You know what I mean? He was like, you want to come get some of this shit? I got it for you. You know what I mean? Even with his legs all
gobbledygook,
accordion legs.
Yeah,
I would love to see raisinette legs. I would love to see him in a four issue story.
Yeah, that would be such a great pulp story, man.
And that's and that's one of the things I was going to point out. Maybe in the end, but why not now? You know,
yeah.
All these secondary characters are characters who could support stories.
Yeah, and it's. The characters you want to see, you want to see every character more.
John
than
Stone,
once.
He's bastard.
Yeah. I mean, he's on the list. Let's jump to John Stone.
Cool. Yeah,
okay.
You know
that scene where he's sitting on the park bench. I was telling the guys about almost buying the piece of art for it.
Yeah.
He's sitting on the park bench with him, disclosing all this information to. He flicks that cigarette and kills the pigeon.
Yeah.
I was like, that's awesome.
The art on that page is awesome too, because it's like the depth of it. It's just kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's good depth and everything to that image.
I mean, he's, you know, that guy is 007, Nick Fury, all
wrapped
up in
And Elijah Snow gets him.
Yeah,
Elijah
exactly.
Snow totally gets him. He's like, you're the best at what you do, but guess what? I got
I'm
you.
Fucking better. Like, that's, you know, I think that turned into one of the things that I really liked about the book was Elijah Snow freaking...
That little cabin scene.
Beating everybody at every turn. I love
everything.
That.
Yeah. Especially the four. The scene where they get that drummer hands him that card.
Yeah, and he's like,
it's on now.
It's just like the wave of confidence that, you know, washes over him at that one point where he figures it out. You know, he's just like, you are all in trouble. like, that's it. Like, that, you know, nobody can compete. You might as well all hang it up. I got it figured out. If I don't right now, I will in about 5 minutes. You know?
That character, he's so smooth, even like in the killing of the pigeon. I mean, you know, before that scene, Elijah, he's like, hey, he like sits down at the bench, names Stone, John Stone, to the girl sitting on the bench, and you're like, she has this whole, oh, she's going for it, and then and then Elijah comes up and shuts that down.
He's like, bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, but I mean, the character's so smooth. Like, they have that whole meeting in the area with like no surveillance.
Oh, the little
yeah, the little cabin up there.
But, I love that
stuff,
man.
They don't really go too much into that character, and he shows up throughout the story. But
it's just enough. You don't want to go too deep.
He's a very important.
I like how
character.
They do that, though. You know, pulling people out of like our regular fiction that we're, you know, literature
popular
and
culture,
stuff like
yeah.
that from,
yep.
you know, all the way into comic culture and stuff like that. Like when, you know, my buddy John Constantine makes
Jack Carter. Yeah. That's Jack my. Carter. That's
I forgot
one of my favorite.
That,
that's one of my favorite guys
whole,
in there,
what
man.
What about the whole funeral scene in
I
London? Where every character,
that's
like Swamp Thing.
Yeah, he's got freaking Swamp Thing. Like, Animal Man's in there.
Yeah,
it's like everybody that was written during that
Sandman's
time.
Sandman's in
yeah,
there.
Shade the Changing Man was in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was,
and they just show up.
Yeah,
it's like
the funeral. They all show up at this funeral for, and it's you know, obviously homage to Vertigo.
Yeah,
but it's
and I love the way that issue was written even too, and like the way it's laid out, because it's got,
did you notice
like,
what at the end when he ends it's he's Spider Jerusalem.
That's what I thought. I thought that's who that was.
Yeah, he turns into Spider Jerusalem at the end because he's like, it's time to reinvent myself, and it's freaking Spider
so that
Jerusalem.
Is yeah, yeah, I've never read that, but I saw that and I was like, dude, that looks like him.
Oh, from what was that,
Transmetropolitan. It's I mean, like, every story is well thought out in this book, and it's like reading a story of that character and Planetary at the same time, which is why I think the book works so well. Is
yeah, very strong.
He hops genres in each issue, and it's not like a noticeable difference. You know, there's depth to it all.
End side one of Planetary Discussions. Turnover Friday for side two.